special board meeting together. We'll do a roll call.
Hooper?
Here.
Forsythe? Lightfoot? LaPierre?
Here.
Leader? Denisha?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Akers?
Here.
Fay?
Here.
Timmerman? Colbert? Burke? Urquhart?
Here.
Paquin? Bell?
Okay, motion for approval of the agenda. Mr. Denisha?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer an amendment to the agenda. And that would be to substitute the resolution that everyone has on their desk or in place of the resolution included with the original communication.
Is there a second to that amendment by Mr. LaPierre? Any discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. So now, motion to approve the amended agenda by Mr. Denisha, second by Mr. Urquhart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Citizen participation. Any citizen wanting to address the board is asked to stand at the microphone during the time that they address the board. The address will be limited to a time of 5 minutes. Please state your name before beginning your address. No takers? Okay. Presentation of the resolutions. Mr. Denisha, since Mr. Timmerman and Mr. Forsythe, would you present that number one, please?
Yes. Would offer a resolution to fill a labor position in the Department of Highways and move for its adoption.
This is a second. Seconded by Mr. Urquhart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Mr. Denisha. I could have done you, Joe. We'll leave it to Joe. Joe, go ahead, please. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Arthur, all right. I offer a resolution authorizing the chair to award and sign contracts for the County Route 24 over the Grass River, Town of Russell, BIN 336-3520, PIN 775-364, and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Denisha. Discussion? I think, Don, you want to speak to this, please?
Yes, if you would like me to, absolutely. The bid came in at a little higher than what we anticipated, and therefore there is a within this resolution, a proposed resolution, we have a transfer of funds out of a project within the department that we had originally scheduled to purchase materials for in the 2018 budget and construct in 2019. Due to the contractual requirements within a bid for with DOT, contingency is required, and I believe that by the time we're all done with this contract, these funds I will be likely to be asked to be transferred right back into that account, so we may continue on with that project as well. We have a, you know, but in the first instance, we have to fund the project. So I don't see how that, I don't think this will impact the 19 projected project, or, and it will allow us to move forward with this project and any others that we have scheduled in the, within the department budget.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers, Mr. Denisha?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chambers, just estimated or projected completion date?
I have had some preliminary discussions with the contractor. Steel delivery is anticipated to be very late September, so likely to be Thanksgiving time or maybe a little after that for an opening.
Mr. Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So when will the project start if we award this now to where they won't be able to cross the bridge anymore?
Well, that's something we will need to, we will be requesting a project schedule from the contractor and looking at that, but typically what we don't want them to open or close a structure down, you know, they need to show a good cause to tear it out before we go there. So we'll keep it open as long as we possibly can. Yes, sir. Understand.
Any other questions for Mr. Chambers? I have one. In the 5th whereas, it talks about decreasing the budget for the Browse Ridge Road Bridge. Where is that, Don?
That is near North Fork.
Okay.
Area.
And so does that mean that the bridge won't be taken on at all, or will have to delay by a certain time period?
Well, that, as I said there, we were planning on ordering the materials in the 2018 year in construction and 19.
Okay.
So at this point, I don't believe it'll be a delay in the project, because I believe we will come in under budget when all is said and done. However, within the contractual requirements for the state, a contingency is required to be in place, and I believe we will be within that contingency. Therefore, later on in the year, I anticipate a resolution to come forward to the board to move that money back into Browse Road so that we can order it before the end of the year so the beams can be fabricated over the winter.
So you're already seeing now, because of this tariff talk, you're seeing an increase in steel prices already?
Yes, actually on some of our material bids, we've seen some areas of, it was in 40-some percent, guide rails up 20-some percent already. So that was one of the reasons why this, I was very concerned about this project because of the steel. The steel girders in this structure weigh over $500,000 pounds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of steel that goes in this. So. That's a big big driver. So any, you know, increase in steel cost drive up the cost substantially.
Well, thank you, Don. Are there any other questions? All right. So what we're going to do is a roll call vote.
Hooper?
Yes.
Forsythe?
Yes.
Lightfoot?
Yes.
LaPierre?
Yes.
Denisha?
Yes.
Perkins?
Yes.
Akers?
Yes.
Fay? Colbert?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Arquette?
Yes.
Paquin? Bell?
Yes.
13 yes, 2 absent.
Okay.
Thank you very much for taking this into consideration.
Thank you. So it passes. Mr. Hooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I offer a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the Development Authority of the North Country to install dark fiber to tower sites as an interoperable communications resource and move for its adoption.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Denisha. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Motion for adjournment of the special board meeting. So moved by Mr. Perkins, seconded by Mr. Arquette. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.
I'd like to call the Services Committee meeting to order for the month of April. The time is 5:33. And ask for a motion to approve the agenda. Ms. Bell and Mr. Timmerman, all in favor? Any opposed? That carries. Approval of minutes from last month, from March 19th. Motion for that. Mr. Arquette and Mr. Perkins, all in favor? Any opposed? No. And I guess we move right into the resolutions. We have Office for the Aging, Andrea. There she is. First one, we have a
Resolution proclaiming May as Older Americans Month, with the 2018 theme being Engage at Every Age. Motion for Mr. Hooper, seconded by Mr. Burke.
Good evening. This is the standard resolution we bring to you every month to honor Older Americans Month, which is May, and honor the many contributions our older adults make in our society.
Any discussion or questions for Andrea? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one, we have a resolution for authorization to fill an advocate worker for the elderly position in the Office for the Aging. Mr. Nisha and Ms. Bell.
This position is to fill an upcoming retirement of a long-term staff member who is in her mid-70s and has decided it's time to travel. We're going to miss her dearly. She handles about 60% of our home-delivered meal caseload, so it's a big gap to fill, but we wish her well in her retirement and hope you'll give us permission to refill her position.
Any discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, this is just a discussion on the public transportation service.
Yes, next month I will be bringing you forth a resolution to amend the current public transportation contract with St. Lawrence NYSARC. They will still be our operator. They are under new leadership in the past 6 months. You may or may not be aware that St. Lawrence NYSARC and Jefferson County Rehabilitation Center are unifying. And what that means is there's new leadership at the helm. The executive director is Howie Ganter. And he is doing a full in-depth review of all the programs and services. And one of the things that he did when he looked at public transportation is realized there had been some errors in the calculations on NYSARC's end of some of their numbers. So they were actually losing quite a bit of money on public transit every year. So one of the things that we've been trying to do with DOT is to see if there are additional resources, grant funding, that the county could apply for so that they can continue this very valuable service. NYSARC is committed to continuing the service. They just want to see if there's additional grant funding opportunities that would be available to them to apply for this year as well in coming years so that they can continue their plans to expand the program to more citizens in the county. So we are just going to bring an amendment to that. There still will be no county cost associated with this. It's just to allow this to be a better business undertaking for NYSARC to be able to break even at least and hopefully be able to make a profit on it eventually as well.
Any questions for Andrea?
Doing very well. Ridership is increasing every day. Started out probably only about 10 the first week, but they're up to 20 to 30 a day taking the route. And looking to the public has been really great about giving suggestions of other places they'd like to stop, and they've been adding those into the route as well. So I think it's been very, very successful pilot. It'll continue for a few more months, and then we're going to look to duplicate that in Messina. You're welcome.
Anybody else? Okay.
And then if I may, Ruth asked me to share that today we had, in recognition of Volunteer Appreciation Week, we held a reception for our nutrition program volunteers. With the weather, we did not have as many, but that's okay because we've decided we're going to bring the party to them at each individual site. But on average, just to let you folks know, we have about 50 to 75 volunteers through the community as well as agencies such as United Helpers and St. Lawrence NYSARC, who are an integral part of us getting the meals out to the 450 clients that received home-delivered meals each week. We couldn't do it without them, so today we had a reception for them with some cake and some small gifts. This is a small way to say thank you for all that you do, because we cannot do it without you.
All right, next up we have Social Services. We need a motion for authorization to fill a caseworker / CPS position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Burke, seconded by Mr. Timmerman. Sorry, Chris.
So the first resolution is a resolution dealing with a caseworker position that's vacant due to a transfer within the department. This is a important position to fill. We have very high caseloads and want to make sure that we're filling this within the 30 days to make sure that we can get the training started for the new employee.
Any questions or discussion for Chris? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one, I need a motion for authorization to fill a resource agent position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Denisha and Mr. Arquette.
Okay, so this position is a unique position in the department, but absolutely critical for financial recoveries. The person who is in this role is filing liens for temporary assistance, Medicaid, also handling the indigent burials that we have and doing recoveries in connection with that. The person who's been in this role for some years is wanting to retire, but recognizing the challenges of somebody stepping into that position after a break, has said that she's willing to step into a vacant social welfare examiner position, which is the same title, and be in the building for some weeks while a new person is learning how to do this job. So this is a creative way of trying to make sure that we are able to have a smooth transition. I should just note that the position is reimbursed at 81%, but that's not all the money that's connected with this. We also, because of the recoveries, are recovering over $200,000 in Medicaid recoveries, $67,000 in temporary assistance liens, which are almost all safety net, so we get to keep 71% at the county, and then also the indigent burial recoveries, $36,000. Dollars, which are county funds as well. So this is a very cost-effective position.
Any questions for Chris? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The last one, we need a motion for authorization to create and fill a temporary coordinator of community health services position in the Department of Social Services.
So this position...
And seconded by Mr. Arquette.
This is a nurse. She's one of two nurses in the department. She's retiring. Her role as the coordinator of community health services is absolutely essential for the medical services that we're providing. And she's supervising staff. She's retiring at the same time as the other nurse in the department, at the end of June. So we're also trying to be creative and with the transition here. So the thought is that we would bring somebody on before she retires to learn what she's doing, make sure that we have a smooth transition. We believe that by taking some of the role of the other nurse, we'll be able to not fill that other position. We haven't included that as part of the resolution right now, in part because we don't know exactly what's going to happen. There are some changes in the programs that the state has, and this is a position that's reimbursed at 100%. So our hope is that we'll bring somebody in to shadow during the period here before the person retires, and we'll be able to not fill the other position. But we haven't put that in the resolution just because we want to make sure that that actually works out. And again, this is heavily reimbursed at 100%.
Yes, Mr. Akers.
Chris, do you have anybody internally that's expressed interest?
I wish we did. It has to be a registered nurse. So we're actually doing this also because we want right away to get out there looking for someone. It's a challenging environment for hiring nurses.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Anybody else? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Chris.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
We have just one. It is this particular position here. Well, in the past, I have suggested that I am not sure that right now would necessarily be the that would be the situation, but I can explore that. We have had some changes since I would have brought that up years ago as a possibility. This is a very interesting position, and really, I think, drawing on the skills of people who are very good dealing with people when someone's died in the family, but also very good at dealing with awkward situations like recovering funds. I think for the right person to be in this role, it's possible. I can explore that further, although haven't at the moment.
Is it your opinion that we are recovering all the funds that we should be recovering? Or is there opportunity to recover more?
That's what I want to make sure, that I'm not misstating that. I believe that at this point it's much better than it has been in the past.
Okay. Could you make sure that, that this board is kept apprised of what your research results in?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Chris.
Next we have public health. Dana? First, we need a motion for authorization to fill an account clerk typist position in the public health department. Mr. Perkins and Ms. Bell.
Hi. So this first is for the resolution for the authorization to fill the account clerk typist. And this has been vacant since last March. And this spot is just needed to help in the pre-K program, to help get the documentation needed from school districts, from the providers that we contract with, so that we can get paid and we can get the proper, just like the billing documentation out.
Any questions for Dana? Mr. Akers.
Just a comment, you look 100% healthy, which is great news for our public health director. You've had a rough go, so you've got a shine to you, so I'm glad you're on the mend.
Well, and I always appreciate that you try to make me more less nervous when I'm up here.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mr. Forsyth.
Who did it in the past, or how has it been handled in the past?
For this position?
This function, yeah.
Well, so as far as I know, we had someone in this role, and she moved up into a new spot.
Okay.
And so she actually has not been able to take her new role, and she is working kind of in this role and the next one up to keep the preschool program going.
Okay. All right.
Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, need a motion for authorization to abolish a deputy director position and create and fill a director of preventative services position in the public health department and modify the 2018 public health department budget. Mr. Lightfoot and Mr. Misha.
So this one is to take away the deputy that was created last year, and it's to bring back the director of the preventive services, which was vacated in the fall of 2016. I've really looked at how we should fill this, and I've spoke with the state, with some of the other counties, and with the staff, and there's a few reasons why this is really needed. We do need someone to stand in when there is no a person in charge of the department. That's what we've seen kind of for the last 6 months. This spot also needs someone who can supervise the nurses. We have lots of staff that are nurses that are like mandated by the state, and so we need someone like with that expertise and to keep our practice up to date as well. So that's why we need this.
Any questions on that one? Yes, Mr. Akers.
Same question I asked Chris. Do you have someone internal that's interested, or you'll be going outside?
We have someone who's internal. So while there was no director, we've had two staff, and our department is kind of split in half. One is kind of the child side, and one is kind of like all the other programs. And And that person who's been doing all the other programs has worked in the department for 20 years.
Oh.
And so it's kind of a natural place for her to go. And she has the requirements to meet the position, which is a BSN. And we don't have a lot of nurses on our staff with those.
What does that mean, the ABSN?
The BSN is a four-year degree in nursing, and that specifically has coursework and fieldwork that's related to the health department. And so if you have a two-year degree or if you've been hospital trained, you actually don't get that experience. And so that is one of the requirements. Well, it's a requirement to have a bachelor's, and so we don't have a lot of other staff like in the department with a four-year degree.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one, I need a motion for authorization to fill a community health nurse position in the public health department.
So,
Mr. Fay, and seconded by Mr. Perkins. Sorry.
So I would like to fill this upon vacancy, because as you'll hear in two more resolutions, we're going to be trying to promote somebody else into a supervising space. And so this position will need to be filled. They coordinate all the child side of things, so like EI program, preschool program, the child find program, and they really just help staff with the management of all the referrals that come into these programs.
Any questions on that one for Dana? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next one, we need a motion for authorization to abolish a community health nurse position and create and fill a public health nurse position in the public health department. Mr. Berg, seconded by Mr. Perkins again. Go ahead, Dana.
Okay. So as I've talked about, we're trying to look at the supervising spots that we have in our department. And so one is on the child side, and then one is on the prevent side. So right now, all of our nursing descriptions kind of follow when we had the CHAW. And we don't actually have a public health nurse. So like your question, we don't have just a lot of staff that have the BSN and that have had the training. So I would like to take one of the open spots and move that into a PHN just to increase the requirements. So this spot would be replacing somebody who would move in into a promotion that is currently a CHN spot, but move it to a PHN. And this person would be responsible for the rabies program to be our lead on the opioid work that we start doing, and then also be to be the coordinator of our detailing, which is a new mandate from the state. And that's where we go out to the offices and try to provide education on how to change practice to our to the area docs and things like that.
Questions on that? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, we have we need a motion for authorization to fill supervising community health nurse position in the public health department. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot.
Okay, so as I've been mentioning, we've had two people who have been functioning as supervisors, but this position has been vacant since September. This position is the overall coordinator of the child programs. It provides the oversight to all the staff, and it provides new education when all the mandates come down. They're part of the QI things, and they kind of keep us up to date with all the child programs, being the EI, the preschool, and the child find.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion carries. We now have a couple of
points for discussion, right?
Yes, I get to keep talking.
Autopsy, transcription rate request, and walk with a dog.
So first, we received a request from our medical examiner to increase the rates for the autopsies and for the related transcriptions. They would like an increase on the autopsies from 1,200 to 1,500, and it's been 8 years since there's been an increase. For the transcription services, they'd like an increase from $30 per case to $75, and it's been 17 years since the increase. And they did state that we are not really kind of in sync with the other counties. So we currently don't have our own examiner here, and so he works for the Tri-County area. And so I looked at trying to try to apply these new rates with what we had paid for 2016 and 17. If we applied the rates for how those went, for an average of those 2 years, we would pay about $2,500 more in the transcription and about $17,000 more for the autopsies. So I wanted to let you know this, and I'll be coming with a resolution for next month.
Questions on that? Okay. And the last one was walk with a dog.
Walk with a dog. So when I first gave my first presentation here in November, there was a lot of talk about trying to get like a community activity that we could do, start a walking program, things like that. And so one of the ways we could start that is do a program called Walk with a Doc. So we're trying to get a chapter here in St. Lawrence County. It's something that happens on a national level. You can be like an organization, you can be a city. And so to start this sort of thing, we do have to go through like a marketing agreement and a liability clause. And we've chose this program, one, because it's already structured, so we don't have to work so much to get grassroots and to get started, because that's always kind of hard to do. But I'm working with the Board of Health and with a subgroup from the Bridge to Wellness. And so we're trying to recruit docs. So what this is like a monthly walk, and like we'd have a doctor go out to a path, and we'd have a set route. We'd make it so it's not like you have to race or anything. It's just to get people out. We're trying to choose routes that are good for wheelchair users, so it's not going to be trails and things like that, so we can try to be sensitive to all people who would want to participate. We're trying to highlight the communities who have started with the complete streets. They've started to add this into their comprehensive plans. And we're also trying to highlight the schools that have started to open up their gyms or their hallways for walking. So right now we're just trying to recruit the doctors, and then also find some locations that we would do as well. And so if this moves forward, we would need the signature for the agreement.
Any questions on that? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Treasurer, we need a motion to authorize the chair to sign a contract with Auctions International for property tax auction services on foreclosed real properties in St. Lawrence County. Mr. Lightfoot and Mr. Timmerman. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay, sorry about that. As you're aware, we issued a RFP in January of this year. It was sent to 10 auction companies and due back in the middle of February. We received 4 responses back. And in early March, after the initial review of those responses, we sent follow-up questions to clarify and verify our understanding of their initial proposals. We had a little back and forth with the companies, so we had a clear picture. After we had gathered the answers to those questions and sat down again, we spent a lot of time reviewing the information. They were very large books returned. we determined who we felt was the best company for our needs, which is the company that we're recommending there. There were two companies that were really pretty close in a lot of aspects. The company that we selected had a smaller pass-through, like a buyer's premium, which we thought would be advantageous. And we've also had personal experience with that company handling our surplus auctions that Mike Cunningham and the buildings and grounds people deal with. So.
Any questions? Yes, Mr. Akers.
So, Renee, what is the percentage of the buyer's premium?
It's 6% for cash and 10% for credit card.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Great.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
Community services, we need a motion for recommendation for amending the A classification adjustment to the management / non-union title registered physician assistant on the county management salary schedule. Mr. Burke and Mr. Perkins.
All management and non-union positions have been categorized as either flat rates or placed in a management band with step limits for salary purposes. And all professional medical provider titles that are not represented have been identified as flat rates for salary purposes as well, with the exception of the registered physician assistants, which was included in a management band 5 beginning in March of 2013. We're unclear why this was put in a band originally or back in March. It's really not defensible at this time, specifically when titles such as the medical consultant, nurse practitioner, psychiatrist, supervising psychologist, and psychologist are all classified as flat rates. So we're requesting that the rates that are included in the management band 5, which is where the physician assistant is sitting now, does not accurately reflect the market for the salaries for this position. And a flat rate classification would provide the necessary latitude establishing the salaries to provide an opportunity for us to be more competitive in meeting the needs of the department.
This applies particularly to the Community Services Department. We have an employee that's worked for us since March of 2013. She did not come in at base, but as it stands right now, she is at base and is currently at 86.314.
She's at max.
She's at max.
She's at max, 86.
86, yeah, $86,314. It's my understanding that a more competitive rate out in the community, someone with her experience, is anywhere between $120,000 and $130,000 a year.
Any questions? Yes, Mr. Akers.
So, that's what we would be the new salary or the new flat rate?
Not
necessarily, or?
Well, that would be something to be negotiated.
Okay.
If it was moved to a flat rate.
So would this be the only position that's affected then at this time?
In community services.
In community services. Okay, thank you.
So is this something you're going to look into further as far as what you would offer somebody? And what guidelines or what comparisons would you use for an RPA as opposed to an MD or a DO, say a family practice doctor, salary compared to what a registered physician assistant would make?
We have ICAT salary surveys that will show the market value for these types of positions. I will say that this market survey shows that the midpoint for this type of position is $110,000 or $100,000, between $100 and $110,000. That's the 50th percentile, meaning that half
half the jobs out there make less than that, half the people out there make more than that. I do know that the area hospitals, probably the one that offers the least amount of money for this type of position, offers $85,000 as a starting salary for this type of position. And ours currently maxes at $86,000. And that's an entity that actually has very good benefits as well in New York State.
So that would be a starting point, the midpoint? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah. We would look at the total compensation package, understanding that the county has a higher...
My concern is that we have department heads in this county that don't make $110,000. We're going to hire a physician's assistant, presumably for at least $110,000.
May recommend that. I mean, they're different jobs altogether. The job work is completely
that.
Different.
I realize that, but I'm taking into consideration the educational requirements for a physician's assistant, as opposed to, say, the qualifications or the educational qualifications for the county attorney.
We'll take into all of that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
County Administrator's report.
So I attended the first meeting since I've been appointed to the Workforce Development Board, and just wanted to let you know a little bit about that. Legislator Hooper was present as well. It would appear that my appointments come at a transition time when they're finalizing most of the changes that you've spent time on between the WEA, as we formerly knew it, and the WEOA, as we know it now. And the implementation now is switching over to a greater interest in training and jobs. So it's an interesting time. We had a presentation from the CREST Center at SUNY Canton, and one of the areas that they were interested in addressing or taking some time to look at was mining and the services and training and certification available. I believe they had indicated at that meeting that there's only one place in Colorado that provides the necessary training. And with the activity going on in the county, it was an interesting discussion to hear the interest level and potentially, you know, the burden of the challenge of paying for all of this always comes to the fore when you're trying to talk about the interest and the value of doing something like this, which at the beginning may seem a whim. But the way that they talked about not only starting up the workforce for the mining operations, it's sustaining that group of people and that workforce over the years to come. So I found it to be very interesting, looking forward to participating with their efforts going forward. Wanted to give you a debrief also on what I notified you yesterday afternoon about with regard to the power outage at the public safety complex yesterday. I did notify you all by email of that occurrence, but I did want to give you more of the facts. We sat down at 11:30 today, 11:45, with folks from Highway, Buildings and Grounds, and from emergency services. At 2:20 a.m., power was lost to the public safety complex, and the system UPSs maintained the power longer than expected. They're expected generally when they have no power to last about 20 minutes. They lasted for the better part of an hour, and that allowed all of our staff necessary to repair the process to not only check in Messina, where our backup 911 center is almost but not yet operational, and then to make their way to Canton. What it would appear has happened, 2 weeks ago there was a generator test conducted, and at that time the starter exploded, and apparently that is very uncommon to happen in these situations. So the highway staff was able to take a starter off another piece of equipment and provide it to us, so there was not a time period without a starter in the generator. They also were able to order a new one. That one came in. They tested the generator following the repair, the initial repair. We don't believe they tested it once the new starter was placed on the generator. So that provided an opportunity of what we dealt with yesterday. At some point in the process, they determined that a fuse had blown on the generator, and that's what prevented it from starting. To make matters worse, the backup to the backup didn't start either. So we had some discussions about how that happens and how the testing process on the front end could could be improved, both between communication after that second repair took place to make sure it was tested yet again, and to make sure that you follow the process all the way through to the worst case scenario. That might also include allowing those UPSs to power down and then trying to restart them. So they're going to review their protocol and their policies associated with this. They're going to refresh the training and update so that more staff are trained on that backup to the backup generator, known as the red generator. But that one didn't help us out either. There also is, and when we talked with Highway, there's also a generator that does sit outside, but that also could be a third option for them in the event that we found ourselves without the use of these two generators in the future. So both that communication, additional testing to be conducted, and then certainly one of the recommendations of the folks, and I wasn't aware of this either, with the electrical components, we do have staff in buildings and grounds that attends to these issues. Highway handles the mechanical, so their mechanics take care of the generators for us. And their request was looking at the age. The generator that failed yesterday was 27 years old. The one at Social Services is 45 years old, and the one at the jail, as you might imagine, is only 10 years old. So one of the things that we're all aware of is that technology has changed in that time period. So the request that's been made also is to have someone come in and take a review of the electronics of those machines and make sure if there's recommendations to be made that either Mike could access some funding through the PSAP grants that he receives, or we could look at in our capital reserve allocating some funds to make those replacements over the next few years. Questions? And I did want to just mention there were only the issue that I indicated to you that happened with the car that Highway was able to report by radio. There was one incident with one individual needing oxygen, and there was one individual student who needed assistance at SUNY Canton. So those are the only areas of interest that occurred during that time period that we're aware of now, though they're continuing with their assessment. Any questions on that?
So Ruth, is there a testing protocol that they follow? Because the problem with these generators is, you know, they're there and then they sit there, and then if you don't periodically use them, they lose their charge is what happens.
Yes, they test them regularly.
So is there a regular startup period that they run them for an hour or half an hour or something?
Yes, and as I understand, they do some with the load and some without.
Okay.
So they do both. We're going to get the dates tied to, and I didn't get them before this meeting, but the dates that they were last tested and when they'll be tested again.
So the one that you talked about that would sit outside, that would be tractor PTO operated then? With an external?
That's beyond my level of understanding. But it sits outside, and they would bring it over if it were needed.
Well, that's what it would probably be. You would have a plug-in that you could...
I could find out what it is for you.
Okay.
Be happy
that would be a third option. It's much nicer if they're inside.
And
do you have gas over there? Natural gas?
I believe we do, but I'll find out about that. I didn't ask that question. Right. But the alternative also is that we're going to work with Verizon staff so that staff's trained because... You know, another few weeks with the adoption of the resolution that you provided tonight for the dark fiber, that's the redundancy for the Messina backup center. And then what we would be able to do is switch the phones to Messina, and the only time down would be getting staff operational in the Messina center. Okay. Wanted to give you an update, and certainly I would turn it over to Larry for the search committee as we've got enough time to speak to that. Search committee for weights and measures met today, and Jeffrey M. joined us for the discussion to provide us with a bit more understanding of exactly what happens. Now, this is a department of two that is both one of our tested director positions, not unlike probation. So there is a current list. There was an exam provided within the time period that creates an established list, though it's not a mandated list because there are not more than three names. So we have been advertising for the last week, and we were able to get an understanding from Jeff, and we're going to be looking at interviews. The applications will be completed acceptance on Friday. Do you want to speak to that, Bill? Okay, so we'll be interviewing, hopefully the application process, as I said, will conclude this Friday. We'll hopefully be interviewing in the next couple of weeks. I wanted to ask a interest in having folks from the People Project that has most recently been in the media with regard to economic interest in generating the community support for endeavors going forward. If there was any interest in inviting those folks to come and present. I know John's been in attendance at some of their gatherings, but I know that most recently there was a covenant signed and there was a lot of, I think, interest in making sure that it makes its way into a permanent process. Would there be any objection to their being invited next month to present to us? Okay. Great. That's helpful. Unless there's questions.
I need a motion for executive session for litigation, personnel, and appointments. Mr. Timmerman, seconded by Mr. Hooper. All in favor? Any opposed? We are now in executive session.
Just before we went into executive session, Dana McGuire indicated that it would appear public health has lost some vaccine as a result of the power outage. They're going to conduct an assessment and get me a report, so I'll share that with you when I have it. A few years ago, we abandoned the NCC service, which was actually an alert that phoned a public health nurse. We moved over to a wireless connectivity that would allow the public health phone to be alerted so that they could respond immediately. So we're going to find out what happened there. I just wanted you to know we'll have to be replacing some vaccine that was lost as a result of that power failure.
Any questions for Ruth? Is there anything else to bring up tonight?
Yeah.
We're adjourned. We need a motion.